evening, I'd like to reflect on what we face in day-to-day life, what is in our hand and what is not in our hand. That is, what we can do and what we can't do. In every situation, even taking a bus, taking MRT, the two aspects. One aspect which is in your hand, the other which is not in your hand. Something that you can do and something that you can't do. There are people who think they are in total control of their life. I just would like to remind them that there are aspects in our life that we can never be in control. Knowing what is in our hand and what is not is the Buddhist wisdom. Buddhist wisdom that goes through, you know, everything wholesome, that goes through everything that we consider possible. In other words, when we talk about accepting what we can't do, this is to accept our limit. And at a certain age in our life, we feel rather invincible and don't tell me, you know, that I can't do this. You see, I think I can do everything, you know, what I want to do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, you have a long list and you tick every box. So in that situation, in that kind of circumstances, you know, the last thing you want to know is something that you can't do. But I'd like to make a statement that before we accept our limit, we cannot really do much. We have to accept our limit first. Something that we can't do, something that we just have to live with. I'd like to elaborate on this, you know, with how the Buddha took off in his missionary life. When he reflected on the truth that he had realized after his enlightenment, he found out that many people, I mean very few people would be able to understand what he was going to say, because his thinking, his experience, his wisdom was against the mainstream. For many people, if you want to be happy, you accumulate more and more, more and more. The more you have, the more secure you will feel. This is the general belief. If you have one car, and if that's not enough, you have two, you have three. One house is not enough, then you have 2, 3, 4, 5, you have it everywhere. So that's the trend, not just today, not just the 21st century. 6th century BC. Okay, during the Buddha's time, people already believe in that. The more you have, the more you feel secure. Because the 6th century BC, during the time the Buddha lived, we already had agricultural revolution. We already had cognitive revolution. If you talk in scientific scale, you already had them. Actually, you already had urbanized communities. Some sort of industries. They were already there. So, compared with life before that, people actually had had more, and the settlement was getting bigger. You can see in some of the suttas, bypass, how some of the communities, the town, how they were prosperous, how they would be, how people were educated. And in those places, the Buddha gave long discourses, like the places near Delhi where the Buddha taught the Satipatthana Sutta and other long suttas. Meaning the prosperous economic situation help people to advance socially, intellectually. So in that kind of situation, we feel that we can do everything. But according to the Buddha's experience, it's important that we accept our limit before we do something big. So, he said, okay, there were people, perhaps the majority of the people who wouldn't understand me. So, this is my limit. If you put leaves in your hand, in your palms, the leaves in your palm, in your hand, and the leaves in the forest, the number is just incomparable. In your hand is just so tiny compared with those in the forest. On another occasion, the Buddha said, look, the dust in my hand and the dust on the ground, which is many. You just cannot compare. So perhaps sometime, in certain situation, what we can do is only this much. And to accept this is a pain. It's a pain on human psychology. We just don't want to accept. We want to delude ourselves that we can do it. We can do everything. So, after the Buddha accepted his limit in, shall we say, regarding the number of people who would be able to understand him, then he set out to teach, to help people, day and night, everywhere. And he set out the teaching in such a way that it was very different from any teaching previously. The teaching in India before that, you know, they were confined to a certain group of people, a certain caste. By that. But the Buddha said the teaching that he has that come from his own personal experience is workable to people from all walks of life. So this is a very ambitious one. His thoughts are very ambitious. You can see the two scenarios. One is accepting his limit, what he can't do, what is not in his hand. But on the other hand, yes, after he has accepted the limit, he comes to see a huge potential, I don't want to use the word endless, but almost endless opportunities to help people. We can still see today scientists, they take part of Buddhist meditation and the Buddhist attitude training into their scientific research and how they're benefiting the world at large. You know, we can just before I came to, I was reading something about positive psychology, and I can recognize a lot of the qualities, you know, they mentioned, because positive psychology just started about 1998, and so less than 20 years. So it's very important that we train the mind to be at ease what is not in our hand. This is not a simple training. To accept what is not in our hand. Okay. Sometimes, you know, I read news quite often, nearly every day, because I travel, and just the other day, you know, there was a bomb blast in, suicide bomb blast in Manchester. And in a few days' time, I'm going back to London. You know, I'm going to see a changed environment. A few months ago, when there was an attack in London, and the police informed institutions, something like our temple and churches and malls and social institutions, school and this. The police inform you that be on the lookout, take care of yourself. The police accepting their limit. And you can apply this to American president, the most powerful man, you know, in any office in the world. Being American president, we don't really understand as an outsider. But someone who occupies the White House, you know, there will be frustration every day because of the limit. Rightly or wrongly, okay, the current president, what he wants to do, he hasn't got his way, rightly or wrongly. So, in coming back, if we apply this to our body, shall we apply this to our body first? It's not possible for this body not to fall ill. Not to get old, and ultimately not to die. It's not possible. We have to accept this limit. This is against the ordinary thinking. This is something that we want to ignore, that we want to be able to tell ourselves that it doesn't happen. It will not happen. We just don't want to think about this. But the Buddha said, this is very important. If you do not recognize what you can control, what you can't control, what is not in your hand. Something like the body functioning according to its own rule, and the mind functioning according to its own nature. If we don't accept this, we are going to be fighting and fighting with our body. So if you get cold, for example, if you get cold because you don't expect that this body can be like this, can experience this kind of illness. What happens is that your mind will react to this cold, and your subconscious mind will use more energy in dealing with this, because your subconscious mind thinks this is an emergency situation. You go into fight and flight mode. Because you don't accept that the body sometimes can feel like this. But when we accept that this body, sometimes it will feel tired, the energy is limited, and after a few hours of work, your energy will need recharging. If you are mindful of this fact, if you are mindful of this limit, then when the body feels exhausted, you are not going to fight with exhaustion. Instead of fighting with exhaustion, you will recognize that you will use that opportunity to develop compassion for the body. By developing compassion for the body, you are actually preserving the physical energy. So preserving the physical energy, or to stop the draining of the further draining of the energy, this is what you can do. But before you can do that, before you can preserve your energy, you need to accept that it's nature that this body is exhausted after a few hours of work. You can see the same situation, the same scenario. There's one aspect of what you can't do, what is not in your hand, that this body will run out its energy. But there's another aspect, that is to take that opportunity of low energy to develop compassion for yourself. And by doing so, that compassionate attitude, that compassionate response pattern, I would say, compassion-based response pattern, we start recharging the physical energy. This time in Bangkok, I was in Bangkok more than 2 weeks. A day after my arrival, we had a 10-day retreat, but 2.5 hours, maybe 3 hours from Bangkok. Khao Yai is the mountainous area. When people in Bangkok go to bed, we are still working in London. When they get up, that's the time we have to go to bed. So in the morning, when people get up to go for meditation, early meditation, that's the time, you know, I have to go to bed in England. And that means physically, I had to struggle. I would get maybe about 2 hours sleep, you know, at night, and then I need to join the early morning meditation session. And after that, I would have about 4 to 4.5 hours of individual interviews. And then I had Dhamma talks as well. I have learned, you know, through the experience, you know, the energy. Of course, my doctors, they always say, you know, you need 7 hours, 8 hours sleep. But we don't get that privilege all the time. We don't have that luxury all the time. Especially if you go around the world quite often. More than 2 weeks in Thailand, and then because I didn't have a chance to rest. So the body took a lot of time, you know, longer time to adapt. And even when I was in Sri Lanka, after Bangkok, I went to Sri Lanka for UN visa. The body is still it still feels alien to Asian time, put it that way. You know, it still think that, you know, I'm in Europe and like that. The same will happen when I go back next week, when I go back to England, and then a few days I have to go to Italy for a retreat. Because we have to follow a certain routine and pattern with others. It's not possible to rest. But rest is like rest can come in other form, but not through sleep. One is to recognize the physical tiredness. Sometimes just sitting on a chair. Sometimes, okay, when my assistant monks were leading, you know, chanting, leading the meditators in chanting, maybe about 20 minutes during that time, okay, you recognize the body, and that this tiredness is not in your hand. You look at the body with compassion, as if this tiredness is your only and one child. You're not going to fight with this tiredness in order to get rid of tiredness. Some people go for coffee, very strong coffee. I go for, you know, water. I take water. And then just stay with tiredness of the body. Just stay with this. When a child is crying, what the mother does is to pick up the child to give reassurance. That is an attentiveness that the mother gives to the child. In that attentiveness, you have love, you have compassion, you have the mother's responsibility, the motherly quality, everything is in that. So, if you use your compassionate mindfulness to hold, to embrace the tiredness, recognizing its limit, it's okay, reassuring yourself, it's okay. That the body is tired. Actually, by doing that within 10-15 minutes time, you get some energy back to work for a few more hours. To create that energy is in your hand. But first, you need to recognize what is not in your hand. Okay, to prevent this tiredness, this exhaustion, you know, you can't prevent this. Look at the way we train the mind in meditation. When we have pain, first we accept. To accept pain, to recognize pain, this means to accept what is not in our hand. That this body has pain and it will always have it. By the time we recognize that, by the time we accept this, the subconscious mind will change its default decision. The subconscious mind will also accept this pain. And then when the subconscious mind doesn't automatically react to the pain, to this physical pain, we are not using our physical energy in resisting that pain. So this is one example of, you know, how accepting what is not in our hand paves the way to discover what is in our hand. The two are interrelated. A few days ago when we discussed about the burden of being accepted and being rejected, being accepted and being rejected, they are related. But we see them separately. We feel the pain when we are rejected. We don't see the pain when we are accepted. When we are accepted. And now, to expand on that, if you are in a meeting, in a team meeting at work, on a weekly basis, maybe 2-3 times a week, maybe more than team meeting, sometimes maybe board meeting, or sometimes maybe between companies. The first thing that we need to accept is that we are not in control of everything. You are not in control of what other people want to say, about their thought, about their ideas, about their ambition. You are not in control of those things. So this is the first thing that you need to accept. Once you have accepted this, deep down in your heart, not just intellectually, but up to the subconscious level. Once you have accepted this one. Now, whenever people say something different to you, you're not going to react in a way that create tension. Because sometimes, is the reaction that we have because we can't accept that people don't understand our ideas, that people don't understand our good intention. We don't accept this, and then we feel frustrated. Actually, we feel aggrieved that people don't understand us like this. But what people may or may not understand you is not in your hand. Not at all. What is in your hand is your own ideas, your own intention, your own response to what they say. These are in your hand. I have mentioned in a few of my talks how top consultants in a hospital in England. I mean, to have come up to a consultant level, you need at least about 16 years of training, 16, 17 years of training. If you don't fail your exam, if you don't fail, you need that much. Some people take more. So, they are very dedicated people, very intelligent people, very well-trained people. But at some point, during the morning team meeting, you know, when they discuss the course of treatment, everyone stop listening to everyone else. They all have good ideas. Everybody just think about what they want to do and what they can do. They don't accept what they can't do. As a result, they are not open to the contribution of other people. All of them, they also take on more than they can do, especially emotionally, because things linger on from the last meeting, from the previous meeting, from the previous meeting. They get accumulated. A simple treatment that any one of them can decide. And together they can't. Together they can't. All the consultants, pediatricians, some of them neonatal specialists, and some of them community pediatrician, and all those things, all the experts in the same hospital. And one of them told me that at some point they got stuck and they had to call a psychologist to come and mediate between them. So, my take is that my reading of the situation is that if we don't accept our limit, then it's likely sometime that we won't get our priority right. We are not talking here about a clinical issue like OCD, obsessive and compulsive disorder. People who want to do things in a very compulsive way. In clinical psychology, you know, you hear about those things very often. Some people, they have compulsive disorder, and if they think something is not hygienic, they will wash the same mug, the same tea mug, many times. You have just washed it, you put it there, and you washed it again, and you washed it again, again and again. We're not talking about that kind of situation. We are talking about the so-called, you know, normal people, normal behavior in us. So, one day the Buddha said, when you get shot with an arrow, that's not your fault. But when you get shot the second time with the second arrow, this is not your fault. What this analogy means. If you go into a meeting or maybe in social interaction, if people say something that you don't like and it upsets you, and this can be understandable. As a non-enlightened being, we have this pain. The degree to which we can keep things in our hand in terms of emotion management, you know, there's still a limit. So we can say that, okay, you get upset. So this is the first arrow that you can shoot at. But this one, the Buddha gave us some medicine so that we can heal ourselves, we can heal our wound. We can look at this with, we can recognize this with mindfulness. Okay, this is pain. This is resistance, this is rejection. This is sadness, this is irritation, whatever. We recognize this negative emotion. We can go one step further by embracing this pain in total, using compassion, just to feel this pain with compassion without judging good or bad. You know, the judgment is usually it goes in one of the two extremes. You either blame yourself or blame other people. So when we use mindfulness to take care of this, and then we bring in compassion to embrace the pain further and deeper and in total, it's very unlikely that you will be hurt with the second arrow. Otherwise, you're going to keep thinking about this incident. The second time you think about it, this is the second arrow. The third time you think about it, this is the third arrow. The fourth time you think about it, this is the fourth arrow. So many arrows get shorted. Being shot at it. This is because we are not immediately clear in that situation what is in our hand and what is not in our hand. You cannot prevent somebody shooting an arrow at you. But you can take care of the wound and you can take care of the second. But the second arrow comes from your own making. The third arrow, usually, you know, when people in the meeting, when people say something to disagree with you, that's the time that the emotional reaction and the we call this proliferation, that is, you know, the multiplication of thought. That's how they come up. Let's go back to another easy example. You drive, there is a traffic jam. You have to recognize what is in your hand and what is not in your hand. What is not in your hand is to change the whole scenario. Because everybody is related, every driver is related. But what is in your hand is your own attitude. This is in your hand. With the right attitude, you're not going to waste a lot of your energy, mental energy especially. Sometimes people, when they get stuck in a traffic, they get more exhausted because of the mental reaction, the emotional reaction. The emotional reaction means you are using your physical and emotional energy unnecessarily. You're wasting it. So, if you can keep yourself calm, you accept the situation, you also look at other people, the other drivers are in the same situation like you, then emotionally you are in control of yourself. This is at least what we can do. At least what we can do. In day-to-day life, we have to feed this body, this physical body. This is not in our hand. We have got this physical body, and we have to feed this, we have to look after this. In Burmese, we call this sabhava dukkha, the bhava dukkha. This is natural suffering. This is not in our hand. Okay. But we can very well create a lot of pain out of this necessity. Every time we eat, because of the habit, you know, the mind, the subconscious mind, we comment on the food constantly. This is good. This part, you know, maybe there should be a little bit more sweet, a little bit more salt, a little bit more, of this, of that. And we start comparing what we have eaten before. In psychology, you call it remembering self. And experiencing self. Remembering self is the mind that is commenting based on the past experience. You're comparing your food with the past experience. This should be like this, so next time we should put this a little bit more. Meaning, you are not totally satisfied with the food you're eating. This is the habit that we accumulate on daily basis. I have mentioned the other day, this kind of psychological behavior has an impact on the body. The body will get old quicker if we do this. Okay? We get old quicker. Because the mind is just complaining about everything, about the food, about the weather, about people, about everything. So, what is not in our, what we can't do is not to eat. We can't do this. We have to eat. But what we can do is, when we eat, so that there is no suffering. Now, when you eat and your mind is comparing what you're eating with what you took the day before, and comparing that, this mind is creating suffering. It's like a machine to produce dukkha. It's like a factory. The tongue is like a factory creating dukkha. This is up to us whether we want to take control of this, because it's in within our control. So, I like to conclude this by referring you to the second sermon of the Buddha, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. The sutta has three parts. The first part, the Buddha asks you to look at your experience, physical and psychological experience, here and now, and to look at them as something that you can't control. Something that you can't control. because you can't prevent them from being ill, from being old, because you can't prevent them. The fact that they are dukkha, the fact that we have to look after them very carefully, means we are not in control. So this is the first part. In Burmese, we usually say asomya. Asomya meaning, you know, I cannot control. That's the way the people understand anatta. But by accepting this, by accepting there are certain aspects of your life that you can't control, you just have to live with that. By accepting this, then when you come to the second part of the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the second statement, the Buddha actually talking about something that we can control, something that can be in our hand. That's our attitude. Our attitude, the way we should relate to our own experience. This is to look at our experience and to relate it to other people. In other words, to universalize it, not just me. When you don't get your way, tell yourself this. Is not just me. This is not unique to me. I remember very well in 1998 in Ottawa during the retreat, an engineer was arguing very. We had a long argument. He said, "You know, the Canadian Prime Minister, you know, he doesn't have the kind of suffering, the kind of stress and pressure that I have," he said. So what you're talking about, dukkha, is unique only to me and not the Canadian Prime Minister, because he has everybody to do things for him. He said. You know, I still remember because he was very adamant in his opinion that the Canadian Prime Minister doesn't have the kind of pain that he has. That the Canadian Prime Minister is in control of everything. There isn't a thing that the Prime Minister can't control. Everything is in his hand. There isn't anything that is not in his hand. So when you do that, you are actually partializing. You are actually making your experience as unique as being unique. When you do this, you look at people who suffer from certain diseases. When they just stay by themselves and when they don't relate to other people, they come to see that they are the only one in this world suffering from this particular illness. So the word anatta, the meaning of anatta, the second one, the first one we have already discussed as being no control. The second one is actually there are things that we can do not to multiply the pain. There will be time when people disagree with you, but it is possible. There are things in your hand that you can do not to aggravate the situation, not to multiplying the pay is possible. That's the second part of the second sermon of the Buddha, Anatta Lakkhana Sutta. In order to do that, the Buddha asks us to question our own subconscious mind. Is this me? Is this my? Is this who I am? To question each experience, because each experience, it doesn't last. To talk about complaining about food. Sometimes you go to a restaurant, sometimes at home, you complain about certain food. The mind is taking this so seriously that you get so upset with this particular food. You have to ask the physical side and then the psychological side. The physical side, the food. Is this food me? If your name is Richard, is this food Richard? Why you're so fussy about this? Why you can't let go? Psychologically, the dissatisfaction, the complaint, is this complaint Richard? You ask yourself if you are Richard. If you are Michael, ask yourself, is this complaint Michael? You're going to find that each experience is just an experience. It's not you. It's not you. And that's the way you will be able to see things clearly in life. After you have questioned yourself, your own experience, a few times like this, now you can remind yourself, this is the third chapter of the Anatta Lagna Sutta, the Discourse on Non-Self. We just had to reaffirm, this is not unique to me, this is universal. When there is traffic, this is not unique to me. There are many people in Singapore who go through the same experience. You can expand it. This is not only in Singapore, but also in Bangkok, in Rangoon, in London, in Paris, in all the big cities in the world. When you see that, it's a lot easier to take this. This is an attitude. This is about developing acceptance attitude. With this attitude, you're going to cope with the traffic very well. If the traffic delays you, if the traffic delays you for 30 minutes, you will only lose up 30 minutes. But more people, they lose more than 30 minutes. Because the hanging over effect. Okay, you get home and you, there's still a hangover from the traffic and like that. And we're just talking about the traffic. It is something, an argument between people, between family members, between neighbors, between colleagues, and the hangover will last longer. But this is something that is in your hand, and you are not aware that that is in your hand because you have not trained yourself to accept your limit. So, when the Buddha taught us to see that everything is changing, this is not in my hand. Everything is like this. Non-self, I can't control, is anatta. This is not in my hand. Actually, the Buddha is teaching us to take control of the part that is in our hand. That is in our hand. Our behavior, our thinking, our feeling, there are many things that we that are in our hands. So many people, they can't, some people, they no longer see that these things are in their hand. So when they get depressed, they feel helpless. Subconsciously, they think this is not in their hand anymore. So they look for other outlet. Some people think the solution is in the beer can, so they go for beer. For alcohol, some people go for drug, like this. This is how people become confused between what is in their hand and what is not in their hand. With that confusion, you can see confused behaviors, confused reaction. I think we only speak in English today, not in Burmese. No? Okay, thank you. That's what you told me earlier. So I haven't prepared in Burmese, so there's no vocabulary in Burmese here. For today. So any question? Any question? What I'm what I've been saying is that, okay, this is for children. You can't do everything in life, but there are things that you can do, and you have to do your best. when you limit, I mean, when you focus on something that you can do, and forget about what you can't do, then you're going to be number one in what you can do. We don't need to do everything. We have to give opportunity to other people to do things as well. In accepting what we can't do, we talk about conceit or confidence, these are all attitude. These are all attitude problem that are manifested in terms of emotion. The Buddha talks about reminding ourselves of our limit. With this, I think you know, we develop some humility, some humbleness. That also means in practice, we are not wasting our time and energy in something that we can't change. Regarding what is not in our hand or what we can't do, there is an opportunity to develop compassion. With compassion, I think we can consider that as an antidote to conceit. Now, if we focus on what we can do, yes, we develop confidence. But here, the whole teaching of the Buddha is teaching us to relate to the wider world. Anatta, when we say the wider world, Anatta means universal. Universality. So when we relate to the wider society, actually, if we do this constantly, we get a lot of benefit. We get a lot of benefit, including less conceit, but at the same time, okay, having confidence like this. But it doesn't have to be either or. We can have no conceit and we can have confidence at the same time. We can develop conceit only when we personalize what we can do. What we can do. And by personalizing that, we actually blur the area, between what we can and what we can't do. What is in our hand, what is not in our hand. The area is, the borderline is very gray. Unless we remind ourselves in terms of daily experiences, the physical body, physical experience, and psychological experience, if we don't keep in touch with this experience, it's hard to keep this clarity. The clarity over what is in our hand, what is not in our hand. Sometimes we may take what is not in our hand as something that we can do. Something we may give up easily despite something is in our hand. Things like that. I just would like to point out the confusion that we have between these two and how much time we waste, how much opportunity we waste in life. So to start with something difficult, that is to accept what is not in our hand, what we can't do. If these days the rulers in every country, there's a limit to their term. In the government in the UK is been shorter, it's only 1 year. So two, maybe more than 1 year. We are having another election next week, not next month. In about 2 weeks' time. They have to prioritize what they can do. And they have to accept what they can't, given the limit of the budget. That would be the basis of their success and failure. Success and failure. To accept that our life is limited, our time is limited. This is the fundamental wisdom in Buddhism. And even when we talk about compassion, in the Karanya Metta Sutta, many of you know by heart. Mata yata niyang buddhang ayusa eka buddhang manuraki ewang bisaba buddhesu manasang bhavaya abhriman. Very important teaching in the attitude development. We have to look at each and every experience of ours as our only child. Meaning you have the same dedication that the mother has for her only and one child. And we should expand, we should expand this quality to all beings. Can we do that? What the Buddha is saying is that psychologically is within what we can do, is in our hand. physically, verbally, is not within our hand. That's why the text is manasan bhavaya, that's in our mind. In our mind, we have to have the capacity to feel everyone's pain. We just need some practice. Some people need a little bit more. But I would say this mental training is a lot easier than many other things. Some people have been to a meditation retreat just maybe 3 or 4 times each time, 10 days. If 3 times, just 30 days, 1 month. 1 month, you can't train in any profession, you can't do it. But if you train in meditation for 30 days, some people, they become expert. They can change their attitude altogether. Altogether. And this is in our hand. This is very easy. Meditation is very easy. You train to be a nurse, you take many years. If you give about 10% of that time to do meditation, you're going to be an expert in meditation. 3 years, you just know the basis of nursing. 5 years, 6 years, you just know the basis of being a doctor, an engineer. But if you do meditation for 5 years, the amount of time you spend learning engineering, you see, compared with other training, the mind training is easy, a lot easier. The thing that the sticking point is, we don't accept our limit. We don't see what is not in our hand. This is the point. This is the point. When we don't see this, we miss a lot of what is in our hand. We just can't see. We just don't see it. Because we busy ourselves with things that we can't do. It's a futile effort. I think there are a few people. I thought not to speak in Burmese. I just give summary in Burmese. If you don't mind, maybe about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Tininya Joluraga. Good let him a shi de aya, good let him a mishi de aya. Good load nine and a load nine. Niarai ma ti nakushi.
โลกไหนนั้นมันโลกไหนกูโลกไหนเนี่ยกูมันโลกไหนนะที่หากูละขันธ์ผู้ด้วยหรืออเมียสุมละมันขันธ์จริงละขันธ์ไม่สวยไอ้อะไรไอ้หายะไอ้ยะเสียใจจังเสียไอ้เพชรไอ้หากูไม่รู้ไกลด้วยมันไม่ดีไซคอลอจีอ่ะ
มันไกลด้วยแต่ที่หายก็มันเล่าไหนบุที่หามาเวไหนบุที่หามาเท่าไหนบุที่หาเท่าลงมาเต็มบุที่หามาตัวไหนบุไอ้ที่กูยังลิมิตกูยังตายเงาละแค่นั้นกูรอกันมาแค่แค่สองอย่างแค่แค่สองอย่างกูยังมันเล่าไหนเนี่ยตายเงากูละแทบไม่เชื่ออีกอย่าง ถ้ากูเล่นมาแข่งมือสวยกูเล่นแทบมาเชี่ยหาเลยไปกูไม่ไปโน่กูไม่เล่นไหนกูประมาทคือโยมการจัดแต่งสวยการจัดกูก้าเล็กออกมายาวหนึ่งกูบ้ามันได้ไหมกูเล่นแทบมาไม่ชีคอนโทรลไม่ชีที่อาเลี้ยวกูเล่นแค่ไหนที่อาเล่นมาแข่งแบบไหนที่หายกูกลัว fight long ni dia dia di yam phit ni dia so yin ku let thae ma shi de a ya ku let thae ma ma shi lo ku let thae ma shi ya ga ba long ti nya ma ku ye khan tha ko ma pin ma aw ai chain twe ma ga jet de ku khan tha ko ma pin ma aw tha bo sait ma pin ma aw tha bo da ku let thae ma shi ya da ma lou nai naw ai de lo ne ga de jet de khan ma lu de ya nanali hun ti lai da ne tha pi lo yan phit ba phit lo ai lo phit da lo so lo ku lat thae ma ma shi de ha ku ma pyaung lai nan ne ha ai ha ku lat ma khan လက်မခံတဲ့အခါကျတော့ကိုလှုပ်နိုင်တဲ့ဟာကိုပြောင်းလဲနိုင်တဲ့ဟာလဲကိုလက်ထဲမှာမရှိတော့မရှိတော့အဲ့ဒါလေးပြောတာဗုဒ္ဓကခေါ်ပေးတဲ့အနတ္တအစိုးမရဘူးကိုမပိုင်ဘူးကိုလက်ထဲမှာမရှိဘူးဆိုတဲ့ဟာကဒါကအရာရာကိုဆွတ်လို့ဖို့ပြောတာမဟုတ်အတိုင်းသာရှိတယ်ဘဝမှာကိုဟုတ်သူတဘာဝအရာတဘာဝဒုက္ခဆိုတာရှိတယ်ဒီဟာကိုဘလို့မှလုံးလို့မရဘူးလူတိုင်းဒီတိုင်းပဲမနေ့အိမ်ရထားလာပြီဒီခန္ဓာကိုသုတ်သင်ရှင်းနေရတယ်အစာသောက်စားပြရတယ်ဒီလိုနဲ့အစာအစာတွေနဲ့လည်းပဲသူကိုပြည့်စုံရတယ်ရေချိုးပြီးတော့ပြည့်စုံရတယ်ကျမ်းမာရေးနဲ့လည်းပြည့်စုံရတယ်ကိုကာလေချင်းခန္ဓာနဲ့ပြုစုရတယ်ဆေးနဲ့လည်းပြုစုရတယ်ဒါဘာမှတန်တယ်ဒီခန္ဓာကိုရလာပြီဒါတော့ပြုစုရတယ်ဒါလက်ခံတာပဲကိုတယောက်တည်းမှမဟုတ်ဘူးလူတိုင်းရဲ့ဒီတိုင်းပဲအဲ့တော့အစိုးမရတဲ့မရဘူးဆိုတဲ့ဟာကိုလက်ခံဖို့ကပထမလက်ခံပြီးပြီဆိုရင်จันทร์เนี่ยกูลุ่นไหนเนี่ยกูอันตรายတွေ့ล่ะဒါလေးပြောခြင်းတယ်ဒါလေးပြောခြင်းမြတ်စွာဘုရားကဘုရားဖြစ်ပြီးတော့ဘာစဉ်းစားတော့ဆိုသူတည်ထားတဲ့တရားလူတွေဟောရင်လူတွေအများစုရဲ့အတွေ့နဲ့တခြားစီဆိုတော့လူတွေငားမလဲဟုတ်တင်တယ်ဒါဆိုရင်အဲ့လိုအတွေးဖြစ်တယ်နောက်ဆုံးကျတော့ဘယ်လိုဆုံးဖြတ်ချတာဆိုတော့ကိစ္စမရှိဘူးနားလဲလူရှိတယ်နားတဲ့လူနည်းနည်းပဲရှိလဲကိစ္စမရှိဘူးအဲ့ဒီအတိုင်းနာလေအဲ့ limit လေးကိုမြတ်စွာဘုရားလက်ခံနိုင်လက်ခံတဲ့အဲ့ခါကျတော့မြတ်စွာဘုရား तू လုံနိုင်တဲ့ဟာ तू 45နှစ်ပတ်လုံလုံသွားတာလူတွေအများကြီးချမ်းသာသံသာရပါတယ်ဘဝတွေကြောင်းလဲသွားတယ်အဲ့တော့မလုံနိုင်တဲ့ဟာကိုယ်လက်ထက်မှမရှိဟာကိုအရင်လက်ခံတယ်အရင်လက်ခံပြီးရခံချက်မှာ priority ချတယ်ဆိုတာလေဘယ်ဟာကိုဘယ်နေရာမှာအားဆိုင်ရမလဲဘယ်နေရာမှာကြာတော့ဖြင့်ဘာမှလုံးဖို့မလိုအဲ့ဒီအသိဉာဏ်သူပေါ့မဟုတ်ရင်ဒီအသိဉာဏ်မဖြစ်နိုင်ဒါကြောင့်ဒီနေ့ညပြောရင်ဟာကအနတ္တလက္ခဏာတုတ်ကိုမိပြီးတော့တွေးခေါ်ပါတယ်ပြောပါတယ်အနတ္တလက္ခဏာတုတ်ကအပိုင်းသုံးပိုင်းရှိတယ်ပထမပိုင်းကကိုယ်လက်ထမ်းမှာမရှိတဲ့ဟာကိုမြတ်စွာဘုရားကဟောတယ်ဒီခန္ဓာ၅ပါးဒီခန္ဓာကိုဒီဝေဒနာဒီဝေဒနာဒီလိုမဖြစ်နဲ့ဒီခန္ဓာကိုဒီလိုမဖြစ်နဲ့အများနဲ့နှုတ်ပြုစေမအိုနဲ့ဒီခန္ဓာဒီဝေဒနာမနာနဲ့အများနဲ့ comfortable ဖြစ်နေစေဒီစိတ်ဘယ်တော့မှမညစ်နဲ့အမြဲတမ်းပျော်ရွှင်နေ ਉ စီဒီလိုပြောလို့မရဘူးလေအဆိုးမရဘူးဒါအနတ္တလက္ခဏာထုတ်တဲ့ပရမဆုံးအပိုင်းသုံးပိုင်းရှိတယ်ဒီကိုဘာမှမလုံနိုင်တဲ့ဟာလက်ထမမရှိဟာကိုလက်ခံလိုက်ပြီဆိုရင်ဒုတိယအပိုင်းကျတော့ကိုလုံနိုင်တဲ့ဟာကိုမြတ်စွာဘုရားကပြောတာကိုလက်ထမရှိတယ်ကိုလက်ထမရှိတယ်ဒါကတော့ဘာလို့ဆိုတော့မိမိရဲ့အတွေ့အမြင်ကိုပြင်လိုက်တယ်ဆိုရင်ပေါ့နော်ပြင်လိုက်တယ်အတွေ့အမြင်မှန်အောင်ပြင်လိုက်တယ်ဆိုရင် tu phit la mae dukkha tu ma phit daw phit la mae patipakkha alou ma phit la mae patipakkha ka maung nei ne phit la mae patipakkha aim ma phit mae patipakkha tu ma phit daw da ja lo mi mi ye let the ma ko lou nai da phit twar di lou nai ne ha o myin pho u twe ma lou nai ne ha o a yin let khan mae da ko ati pinya lo ko la na di di pinya ka anatta pho ma a che khan ne another room amyasu na le da do pokko tatwa mo thi lo mo nga mo ho bu so da ai ha ka ho taya ayan yin ma na le da di ni pyo ra ka a chi khan le pyo da anatta o chi khan le pyo parama so anatta ka ko lat tha ma me shi de ha ko mo pai nya ba ma lou nai da da anatta di khana ko mo o ne ma na ne ကျော်လို့မရအောင်ကိုလက်ထမ်းမှာမရှိဘူးနတ်နတ်ဒုတိယအနတ္တကိုလက်ထမ်းမှာရှိတယ်ဒါဘာလို့ဆိုတော့ဒီနာကျင်မှုတစ်ခုစိတ်နာကျင်မှုတစ်ခုဖြစ်လာပြီဆိုရင်ငါပဲရှိတယ်ငါပဲဒီလိုဖြစ်တယ်သူများမဖြစ်ဘူးအဲ့ဒီလိုမြင်တဲ့အမြင်ကိုပြောင်းလိုက်ပါတဲ့ဒီလိုစိတ်တန်ရထန်ချက်မျိုးဒီလိုအလိုမကြည့်တဲ့ဟာမျိုးငါတယောက်တည်းမကဘူး နေရာတိုင်းမှာရှိနေတယ်အဲ့လိုယူနီဗာဆယ်အက်စပီရင့်ယူနီဗာဆယ်လိုက်ဇေးရှင်းအဲ့လိုမြင်အောင်ကြည့်ပါအဲ့လိုမြင်အောင်ကြည့်ဒါကတော့ကိုယ့်လက်ထက်မှာရှိတယ်ပြီလို့မြင်အောင်ကြည့်ရင်လည်းဆိုရင်လောကကြီးထက်မှာသူကနေစရာအရန်ကောင်းပါတယ်ချမ်းသာမှုတွေရတယ်ဒုက္ခတွေနည်းပါတယ်ဒါကြောင့်ကိုယ့်လက်ထက်မှာရှိတဲ့ဟာနဲ့ကိုယ့်လက်ထက်မှာမရှိတဲ့ဟာဒါကို ခွဲခွဲချာချာတည်မြင်ဖို့အတွက်ကကိုယ့်လက်ထက်မှာမရှိတဲ့ဟာကိုအရင်လက်ခံပါအနိစ္စဒုက္ခအနတ္တပြောတာဒါကိုယ့်လက်ထက်မှာမရှိတဲ့ဟာကိုအရင်ဆုံးလက်ခံခိုင်းတယ်ဒီဟာကိုလက်ခံပြီးတဲ့ခါကျမှလောကကြီးထက်မှာလောကကြီးအကျိုးအတွက်ရောလူအများအတွက်ရောကိုယ့်အတွက်ရောလုံနိုင်တာလေအများကြီးရှိတာကိုတွေ့ရလိမ့်မယ်အားလုံးကြမ်းမှချမ်းသာကြပါစေ
Sādhu, sādhu. Kewe tu shiarim nari, vich tu chandi, āgi cha chāyā na. Kuso mi dinai mi ami nam akasya daka lai sang parami ma lai sen kampa dang sen dang long nai sem pi sem sang sem sat sem kon vainaya sadawa Nai satcha wale, ananda satcha wale, tang sen khen do hum hum som som sattu anumodana, nai hap kuso pandi, peng peng gan sen sen, sikam dikano, Sādhu, 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 tāna mea, sīla mea, pāvana mea, rāo sāo kā, dāng sēng dāng lōng, yā tō hōng tō hāi, pī him ām lāi, kōn him ām lāi, sādhā wā him ām lāi, Yon pak pang wai nai mak hu sa hao ka to tau ho Ti yo se sa amata Ni pa na di ka jen se kam di ka no Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu Saturday, same time.